Psalm 23, known as the Shepherd Psalm, but I would say it's probably better known as the Sheep Psalm because it's written by David, who is a shepherd, but it's written from the perspective of a sheep. As David says, "The Lord is my shepherd." And I know, very familiar psalm to you. In 30 years, I've not preached a message just from the psalm, so this will be a first time in this particular passage, even though it is very familiar. We've read it, referred to it. Funerals, this is a very popular funeral passage, but it need not be simply that. And reading the text, "The Lord is my shepherd, I shall not want. He maketh me to lie down in green pastures. He leadeth me beside the still waters. He restoreth my soul. He leadeth me in the paths of righteousness for his name's sake. Yea, though I walk through the valley of the shadow of death, I will fear no evil, for thou art with me. Thy rod and thy staff, they comfort me." You have a tendency to look at verse 4 and think of physical death, but that is not what that's talking about. Verse 5, "Thou preparest a table before me in the presence of mine enemy. Thou anointest my head with oil. My cup runneth over. Surely goodness and mercy shall follow me all the days of my life, and I will dwell in the house of the Lord forever." I bring you a message this morning entitled, "The Lord is my shepherd," from Psalm 23. Let's pray. Father, I pray that you speak to our hearts this morning, that we would walk away from a psalm that's very familiar to us. Most of the folks in this room could probably quote the words that I have read to them this morning. But may we breathe in a new meaning to it and significance, and be a help to us, encouragement to us as we go through our daily life and the necessity of things that maybe we take for granted or we've allowed to fall by the wayside. Father, for that person who does not know you as their shepherd, as their Savior, may they embrace the good shepherd that giveth his life for the sheep. For that Christian who strayed away from the good shepherd, their wool is laden down with sin, sinfulness, debris, so much so that they wonder if they can even get up another day. And may they come back to the good shepherd, and may they hear your voice and recognize it, come back to you for help, for healing, and rejoice in not just your salvation, but your care for them. Well, thank you for what you do this morning as we pray to you in Jesus Christ's name. Amen. This is one of those messages that looks good on paper. I have really enjoyed studying the 23rd Psalm, and I hope that'll be a blessing to you. When we get done, you say, "Pastor, you lost me on that one today." And that's possible. I hope not to lose you. Stay with me. I'll start out with a story from DeKalb, Georgia. DeKalb County, Georgia, which is just, just a bit south of Chattanooga. It's on the northern end of the state. It's in the center. I don't know, if you're looking at the map and Georgia's about this big, it's about that far down from the northern border with Tennessee. There is a fellow there. He's a sheep rancher, and he has a sheepdog, and the sheepdog name was Casper. And the owner went in at night to sleep, and while he was sleeping, the coyotes came in. And you say, "Georgia doesn't have coyotes." I'll tell you, Fairfax County has coyotes. How many of you have seen a coyote here in our area? Okay, you have. All right, very good. Now, Mrs. Bishop saw one in our backyard. We live 1.6 miles south of here. anyways, coyotes came to attack the flock. There were 12 coyotes that started to attack the flock, and Casper, the sheepdog, even though the shepherd was in and he was asleep, Casper started to protect them. And one by one, they would go after the sheep, and one by one, he would attack them. And it was a vicious attack that lasted over 30 minutes before the shepherd awoke and came outside, and the remaining sheep disappeared at the presence of the shepherd, but Casper had killed 8 of the coyotes before the 30 minutes was over. But Casper was nowhere to be found. He had disappeared. 2 days later, he showed back up, badly wounded, took multiple surgeries to put him back together. And the shepherd said this, I even hate to use a word, but a miracle is a word that comes to mind of what the dog had done, how he had protected the sheep. And he say, well, I don't need a shepherd, I need a sheepdog. Well, who do you think feeds the sheepdog? And the sheepdog is there as a result of the shepherd. Had it not been for the shepherd, those sheep would not have been protected. In Psalm 23, this is known as the shepherd's psalm, but it is written from a sheep perspective, the sheep being David, and David is writing about, he is a shepherd watching over his flock, and it dawns on him that he, although he is a shepherd of the physical sheep, that God, the Lord, is his shepherd. And it starts out with the Lord. And every word is important. The is a clarifier. There is only one. And Lord, in your King James Bible, 4 capital letters, capital L, capital O, capital R, capital D. Whenever you see that, you're seeing Jesus. And Jesus is there. And he is present in the Old Testament text. And David says, is. The Lord is. My dad, 95 years of age, was talking to me about this just recently and shared this with me. I had not paid any attention to that word. And words are important. The only one, Lord, the Savior, is. He is. He is the pre-existing one. He's always been. I'm thankful for a dad that's 95 years of age, has a clear mind, and is still thinking about the spiritual things. God is. In Genesis chapter 15, Genesis chapter 18, Abraham said, well, who are you? And God said, I am that I am. And to Moses, in the Exodus, they said to Moses, go lead my people out of Egypt. And Moses said, who shall I say sent me? I am. And he is. The Lord is. He is the pre-existing one. He didn't just show up in Bethlehem as a baby. He has forever been and forever will be. Now, you can ignore God. You can live your life like God does not exist. But God here, and David says to us, the Lord is. And no matter what you think, no matter what kind of attention you pay to him, you can get up in the morning and not fellowship with him, not read your Bible, not ever go to church. You can do all of those things. You can live, and much of the world does. A survey came out yesterday. It was on the news that church attendance is down. People are not going to church. They're not giving God any attention. And David just says, it doesn't matter what attention you give him, he is, the Lord is. You can ignore him, you can despise him, you can reject him, you can question him. It's called free will. But it will not take away from God's existence. And David said, the Lord is my shepherd. And a personal testimony that David shares. The Lord is my shepherd. I came to know the Lord as my shepherd when I was 19 years of age, laden down with the cares of this world as a sheep serving a shepherd, Satan, who only, he didn't care about me. He wasn't leading me. He was driving me into a point of insanity. Because he had nothing to offer to fields that were barren and ripe with danger and disease and weeds. He didn't care about me. And he was out. That shepherd was out to destroy. Satan could care less about you. He just wants to destroy you. And there I was on the slave market of sin, as you were before you came to know Jesus Christ. And the good shepherd came and looked down and said, I'll redeem you, I'll buy you if you allow me to. And on that day, the Lord became David's shepherd. On that day, when I was 19, the Lord became my shepherd. I have a hard time reading Psalm 23 ever without saying to someone, the Lord is my shepherd, is the Lord your shepherd? It begs a question. But the Lord is definitely David's shepherd. It is personal. David belongs to him. I belong to the shepherd. If you've trusted Christ, you belong to the shepherd. He leads you. What is the next phrase? And David says, as a sheep, I shall not want, because he takes care of me, takes care of my every need. Now, there are things that we as sheep think we need that the shepherd has not provided, but you don't need that. I've ministered enough over the years, and I have enough gray hair to testify that I've been around people that don't think God treats them as well as they should be treated. That there's something else that they deserve, or something else that they want, and it's always something. But David said, the Lord is my shepherd. The Lord, the one and only, is, no matter what I say about him, he exists, my shepherd. And as a result of me trusting him, I shall not want. I would say to you, Christian, if you are in a place in your life where all you do is wish you were somewhere else, having something else, being something else, then you have not got to this place of contentedness. Just say, you know, I trust God. There are preachers that never get there. David had arrived to the place where he said, I'm just going to be happy and satisfied with the place that God has led me, with the place that my shepherd has placed me. Let me come down to where you live for a second. With the house that God has given me, with the children that God has given me, with the wife that God has given me, with the husband that God has given me, with the car that I drive, we have a tendency to discontent. To get a new car and say, you know, I wish it had bun warmers, rather than saying, thank you for this provision that I get in and I push the button or turn the key and it starts. What an amazing thing, right? And if you don't know that, then you've never really been in a car. You've been in a car that has left you stranded, that every time you got in, you put the key in and said, oh, Lord, please let this thing start one more time, because it's 9 times out of 10 doesn't start. To just get to the point where you say, you know, I trust the Lord. The Lord, the one and only, is. He is the existing one. No matter what I do or how I act, he exists. My shepherd, I've trusted him as my Savior, and as a result, I'm going to trust him. Not always want somewhere else or to be somewhere else or to have someone else. Happy, satisfied, contented with what the Lord is doing in your life. And again, there are some preachers that never get there. They want a different church in a different state, in a different place. They want to be here, want to be there. I'm just happy to be here. Pastor, do you want to travel? No. Would you like to go to the Holy Land, Jerusalem? No, not particularly. Birthday time comes around, and for years our birthday tradition has been in our family that the birthday person gets to choose where they're going to go out to eat within reason. And so my birthday would come along, and Mrs. Bishop would say to me, so where do you want to go out? And I said, anything? And she said, yeah. I said, I would like a home-cooked meal at home. And she'd say, never mind, you don't get to choose. My birthday, right? I'm just happy. I'm just happy to be at home, happy to be here with you. I don't wish I were somewhere else in a different church, in a different ministry, in a different town, in a different place. And David had arrived at that point. Here he is in a shepherd, in a shield, in a field. His brothers are out doing something else. Some of them are at home. Some of them are in charge of the family biz. And David just says, you know, I'm just content to be out here with the sheep. I shall not I am not going to live my life always wishing I was somewhere else, always wishing I had a little bit more, always wishing I had something a little bit better. I'm just going to be content where I am, satisfied with what God is doing in my life, and content to follow Him. David said that. Content to rest in His presence. Content to be and to walk alongside Jesus in this journey that we call life. Do you follow the shepherd? Lots of interesting sheep stories, and I come from a farm background, not a sheep background, a cattle background, but I know that I could, even in college, working my way through school, I worked at a farm for several years, that you got to know the cows, and I could walk out, and they came in to be milked every morning, every evening. And I could walk out into the holding area where there were 65, and to you, one cow looks the same, right? I could walk out into that area, and they came in 8 at a time, and they came in groups. The first group came in, the second group came in, the third group came in, the same 8, in the same group. They went to the same stall, and I could walk out there, and I could say, okay, ladies, it's time. Come on in. And the first 8 would come in. And every once in a while, there was some that said, he doesn't really know who I am. And she tried to stick her head in there. And I said, not you. You're the third group. Get out of here. And she'd twist her head and walk away. And this comes out of Niger, West Africa. Every year they had a competition. Because there are pastors. Well, listen, there are husbands who, instead of leading in their family, they drive them. Sheep are not intended to be driven. Cattle are, but sheep are not. And God doesn't say, you remind me of a cow. He says, you're like sheep. And sheep need to be led, not driven. Not driven. We're not going to have a sheep drive. And so in Niger, they have this competition where they determine who is the best shepherd. And the shepherd gets out in front of his flock, and he starts in this corner, and they have another shepherd in this corner with his flock, and they're going to make an X in the middle of the room, and this shepherd with his sheep needs to end up in that corner of the pasture, and this shepherd in this corner with his sheep need to end up in that corner of the pasture, and so the shepherds go. And at the X point, both flocks cross. And the shepherd walks through, and he turns around, and he calls his sheep. Come on, come on, follow me, follow me. And he goes. And the shepherd that ends up in the corner of the field with his flock, without his flock getting mixed up with the other and following a voice that he does not recognize, it wins the competition. It's just interesting. They do that every year. And what an amazing thing. We, as sheep, need to listen to the voice of the shepherd, God. Where is that from? From God's word. Many know, many do not. He is my shepherd. We should listen for his voice, for him to speak to us, and he's going to do that from his word. Verse 2, he maketh me to lie down in green pastures. He leadeth me beside the still waters. He restoreth my soul. By going to the green pastures, by the still waters, we receive restoration. He is my shepherd. He is also my restorer. So I come to God's word, and it helps me. I read God's word, listen to God's word, listen for God's voice, and it is helpful. It is resting. It is comforting. Pastor, do you worry about cancer? I do not. I do not. Do you worry about death? I don't. Do you and Mrs. Bishop ever talk about death? Listen, there's enough gray hair on my head. I'll absolutely tell you that we talk about it. Tell her, I don't want a big funeral. Just take me out to the cemetery and dump me in, have a graveside service. I don't want a bunch of people that wouldn't come to see me on Sunday coming to see me on Friday just before they put me in the ground. And they didn't want to come see me while I was alive. Just tell them to stay home. And then I said, you know, as a matter of fact, I don't want to be buried in a cemetery. No. I dig a hole at church. I don't sit down. So I like to get up. I like to be working. I like to doing things. I like to work at church. I like to do projects. I said, so what I want you to do is I want you to get a big round auger. And I want you to dig it in the ground when we do the church building program, because I think I'm going to die before we get that done. And I want you to lower me into the ground. And then I want you to fill it with concrete. Then I can be a pillar of the church, right? Holding up the building. So, yeah, we talk about it. Do you worry about it? I don't. I serve the Lord today. I follow him today. I'm content to lay at his feet today. I can tell you that he has led me by green pastures. He has led me beside the still waters. Water speaks of the word of God. He restoreth my soul. The good shepherd leads his sheep to places. He knows what we need and knows what we need to eat, and he leads us there. He is ever feeding and caring for the flock. A good shepherd is not going to put his sheep in one pasture. He's going to lead him. And so in the wintertime, that pasture is going to be in the lowlands. In the summertime, because why? Because on the mountain peaks, it's dangerous, and there's snow and ice, and it's not a safe place to be. But in the summertime, when the valley is being baked, the shepherd is going to lead them to a new pasture, to a high ground. He's going to make sure that he rotates that. And if you know anything about farming, the importance of rotating from cattle from pasture to take good care of that so it can get beaten down and wrecked, and God does that. But if you've lived long enough, you know that there are pastors, there are evangelists that all they do, if I said some names, you know, I say, oh, that's a prophecy guy. That's the only pastor he ever is in. He's in the pastor of prophecy. I got a letter from a fellow that I know casually as a pastor. He said, listen, you have no business preaching anything except for salvation. Don't preach about sanctification, anything, propitiation, all that other stuff. People don't care about that. They don't need that. That's the only thing you should preach on. I'm thinking, man, that's the only pasture that you're going to be in? That's not balance. We should strive for balance. There are some guys that don't... Listen, I'm a King James Bible guy. I love the Bible. I love God's Word. But there are some guys that get up every Sunday morning, and that's all they ever preach about. King James, King James, King James, King James. I think it's the best book. I think that I love it. I'm going to memorize from it. But every week, it just doesn't seem to be balanced. Or prophecy, or standards, or money. So I was away some time ago, and in the motel room, clicked on the television, and it had the televangelist channel on. I thought, well, who is this guy? And so he was talking about money. Give this and this seed money and get this, and you need to send so much, and I'm looking for 180 people to give so much for this. And I thought, give me something from the Bible. He said, no, give seed money. So I turned it off, and I don't know, Mrs. Bishop and I went out to a dinner at Burger King, and came back, and 2 hours later, turned on the same channel. It was still the same guy, and he was still talking about seed money. Send us money. Listen, you've been on there for 2 hours, and that's all you had to talk about? Is money important? Sure. Should that be addressed? Yeah. But every week, every service, and that's all you're going to talk about? You give me money, and God will give you money? I don't think so. I don't think so. I do not ever, as a rule, re-preach a message. I don't sit down at my desk and say, I wonder if I preached from this before, and I can search it out and pull it up by date, by text, by title, and I can pull up the outline and look at it. I don't do that. I don't. Somebody asked me just recently, hey, pastor, have you ever preached on this? Yeah, I have. You need to preach on that again. No. So I pulled up the outline and I looked at it. I said, this is all good. And I went back to the computer and I typed it in and pulled up the time and I preached a message on that particular topic and I printed it off. It was a 2012 or something like that. And I handed it to him and said, here's the CD, listen to it. I'm not going to re-preach it. Here it is again. Now, why is that? The Lord doesn't lead you to stale pastures. There's some pastors, as they get older, they become stale. They go through something, they're not preparing. That's just not the guy I want to be. And imagine if you were in the kitchen and you sat down and you were at someone's house and you were sitting down for a meal and they said, I bake the best chocolate chip cookies in the world. And I'm going to give you a chocolate chip cookie that I made in 1952. Yeah, exactly. No, thank you. You know, I'm on a diet. I'm allergic to, I'm going to be suddenly allergic to chocolate. That is not something I'm going to want to eat. Imagine the pastor does that every week. Listen, I'm going to give you a message that I preached in 1922. Really? Why don't you give something fresh to me? An evangelist in several years ago, he was just here for a Sunday, and I knew the ministry that he was out of, but I did not know him personally. And I said, before I let you in the pulpit on a Sunday morning, I said, I want to hear you preach. So send me a link of a message that you have preached. And so he did. A message that he had preached, I would say 2012 or maybe 2013. And I that was pretty good. And it was now 5 years later, probably 2018, 2019. And so he came in on a Sunday morning, and I sat down in the pew. And if he didn't preach the exact same message that he had preached in 2012 and sent me a link to. And after the service, he is a young fellow, and I said to him, you're bringing a message today that you preached in 2012? He said, this book is full of fresh fields. You really need to get your Bible out. And if you've got to go back to 2012 to get a message that you preach, you really need to get something fresh from God. And he has never come back here. Why? Because he's stale. And God doesn't do that to you. He restores your soul. He leads you in the paths of righteousness for his name's sake. He leads you beside the still waters of his word. And when you're in God's word and you're following him and it's fresh and sweet and flowing, you're going to be refreshed. A sheep will not rest if he's worried about, what's the next meal? Where's it going to come from? Where's the water? Oh, the water's drying up. Oh, no. A sheep is not going to rest. It's not. David said he could absolutely rest having absolute confidence that Christ was his shepherd, that he was leading him in a place of still waters, of new pastures, that it wasn't something old and outdated and worn out, something that had been overgrazed. David had that confidence. How do you do that? How does a preacher do that? So I'm going to preach last week. I preached from a passage in about Christ and his death, burial, and resurrection, and wanted to get the overview, so read Matthew, Mark, and Luke during that week, just to be fresh. I'm not a big conference follower. There's some guys that like to go to the big places and like to rub shoulders with the big guys, and they go from conference to conference to conference. A couple of times a year, Frank will tell you, I'll go over to Dover and sit down in class and sit down as a student and let a teacher teach. And I'll read a couple of books and write a couple of papers. And I don't like to do it, but I'll even take the test. Just to stay fresh. I just think that's important. Green pastures and still waters are fresh and refreshing. Contented, well-fed, following the voice of the shepherd. This came out of Bethesda, Maryland, a story. Ice cream shop, and it was kind of late in the evening, about 9-ish. He was going to close in about an hour, and the phone rang, and he said the name of his shop, and I'll not say that, but the name of his shop, and he said, "How can I help you?" And the guy said, This is Sergeant so-and-so from the police department, and in about 5 minutes, but certainly within the next 30 minutes, there is a guy, we have intelligence, that a guy is going to come into your shop and he's going to rob your shop. Now, don't resist. Give him all the money in the cash register and let him leave. And when he leaves, we're going to be waiting for him and we're going to arrest him with the goods. And the guy said, cool, that's good. So sure enough, about 5 minutes later, this door opens up. This guy, this shady guy comes walking in and walks over to the cash register, to the ice cream shop owner, and said, "This is a robbery. I want all your money." And the guy said, sure, yeah. So he opens up the cash register, gets all the money, puts it in the bag. The guy walks out, and the owner is looking out the door, waiting for the police to come and arrest him. But they didn't. And he realized, it wasn't the police that had called me. It was the bad guy that had called me. But he didn't recognize that. What a shame it is to get a call from Satan, a temptation, and not to be aware that you're about to be taken advantage of because you're not listening, not close to the voice of the shepherd. He leadeth me. He is my shepherd. He is my restorer. He is my leader. He leadeth me in the paths, or in verse 3, of righteousness for his name's sake. Have you ever thought, why me? Why me? Why now? Why this? David's got the answer. For his name's sake. For God's sake. You will. Why cancer? Why this time? Why do I have cancer? Why am I fighting this health battle? And for his name's sake. Because anybody, and Satan lodges this accusation against Job. Satan said to God, certainly Job follows you. I mean, you've given him health, you've given him wealth, you've given him finances, you've given him lots of kids. He's, man, but if you take that all away, Job won't have anything to do with you. Now, God knew Job, and Job would have said, "The Lord is my shepherd." Job, with the Apostle Paul, would have been able to say, "I've learned in whatsoever state I am therewith to be content." And when Satan came and took it all away, Job did not sin nor charge God foolishly, according to the text. Because it wasn't about Job. Today we study the book of Job. We study what Job went through as a lesson to what happens to us behind the scenes, what Satan is at. And how does that benefit? Well, it didn't benefit Job per se, but it benefits all of God's people all the way down as we wander through that field of sickness and sadness, wondering if there is any hope at the end of the day. We have hope in Job. Why did Job go through that? For his name's sake, for God's sake, to be able to help others. "Yea, though I walk through the valley of the shadow of death, the shepherd leads from pasture to pasture." And in order to get to the mountaintops in the summertime where it's cooler, easier on the sheep, and in that high-level pasture, you have to walk through the valley. And I'll just tell you, every mountain, if it's going to be a mountain, there's going to be a valley. And in those valleys, there is danger. Now, there are predators, there are snakes, there are obstacles, and the shepherd will lead you through life. You ever walked through a neighborhood and you thought, this is not a safe place to be? And your hair on your neck stands on end? Your senses are heightened as you sense danger. Yea, though I walk through the valley of the shadow of death, on your way to the next pasture land, He will lead me from the valley to the cool mountaintops. Again, danger along the way. What should you do? Stay close to the shepherd, fearing no evil. Why? For thou art with me, thy rod and thy staff, they comfort me. Pastor, do you get afraid to walk out your front door? I don't, but there are people that do. Why are they afraid to walk out their front door? Because they have lost their trust in the shepherd's ability to protect them. I trust God to protect me. Now, that doesn't mean I'm going to go out there and do something foolish. Pastor, do you have a desire to jump out of an airplane? I don't. Fear should not replace your faith in the shepherd to lead, guide, and to protect you. Jesus is also my primary care physician. Jesus Christ is a great physician. Verse 5, thou preparest a table before me in the presence of mine enemies. Thou anointest my head with oil, my cup runneth over. We look at that word table, and I don't know what you think. When I think of a table, I think of a table, right? Table, got chairs all the way around, and He prepared that table, and on that table is heaped up with food. But you've got to remember, this is a shepherd's psalm, and He's not talking about sheep don't sit at a table. What do? Sheep go to a table and feed on a table. A table is a high area of land that is green and lush on the top. And the shepherd would lead his sheep from the low-level pastures of the wintertime up to the higher-level mesas of the summertime, where it is cooler, where the rain falls, where the grass is green. But before He would let His sheep feed on that table, He would walk through the field and look for noxious weeds that might have grown up, that might be there, that if the sheep eat it, they're going to get sick. And He prepares a table before me. All around that table, there are predators. In the presence of mine enemies, on the edges of the table, there is danger. There are cliffs and maybe a steep drop. There might be a rut. There might be lurking in the shadows a bird of prey or a predator or snakes or a lion or a bear, as David talked about when he talked to Saul. He said, man, there was a lion and a bear came and I protected the sheep. Plateau, not the dining room table. Boy, I wish I had something else besides this old Bible. But in this Bible, God has given us what we need to know. Pulled the weeds out, protected us. Say, I'm going to get a different version. Just be careful. You change your Bible, you change your doctrine, you change God's Word. Are we protected? No. Noxious weeds have been pulled, things that are harmful. God's walked a perimeter. He has given us exactly what we need. Thou anointest my head with oil. Now, what in the world is that? Well, if you know anything about farming, you know that sheep get bugs. Bugs in the summertime, nice summertime. We love summer, right? But then the flies come out and the mosquitoes come out and the gnats come out and they'll get on a sheep and get in their nose and on their head. And a sheep, cattle, anytime a cattle driven by the pest will run, sometimes beat their head against a tree to try to outrun the varmints that have infested them. And the shepherd will come along and anoint their head with oil so they're protected from the pests that come to annoy the sheep. No wonder David said in the Psalms, thou shalt anoint me with fresh oil. We come to church, and that's wonderful, but oil should not just be applied on Sunday. The shepherd doesn't do that to the sheep just once a week. I'm thankful for the Sunday applications. I'm thankful for the Wednesday applications. But man, get on God's Word on Monday and Tuesday and Thursday and Friday and Saturday, and let him anoint your head to protect you from all the pests that are out there in this world. And there are many, many, many of them. In Wyoming, this is an interesting sheep story. There was a shepherd that had some little lambs. They had just been born, but their moms had rejected them. And every year that happens in the flock, whether there is a smell that the mother sheep detects that she rejects the little lamb. So the shepherd went into town and got several at-risk kids and said, "Would you come out to my farm and adopt these little lambs?" And so every day, I think there were 8 little children that came out, and they took these little lambs and they feed them the bottle, and they'd hold them and they'd pet them and they cared for them. And then the little lambs started to get bigger, and summertime kicked in, and it was time to go from the low-level pasture to the high-level pasture. And during that week, the shepherd came in and took the sheep up to the high level, and the kids came back that week, and their little lambs were gone. And they cried, and the shepherd said, "No worries, we're going to take you. I'll take you up to where the flock is, and you can go see your sheep. They won't know me." And those eight little children came up to that flock. And there were hundreds of sheep out in the shop, and hundreds of little lambs out there. And each one of those children called their sheep, and all eight of those little lambs that those little ones had nurtured ran right out to the voice of the shepherd that had cared for them. Verse 6, and we'll be done. "Surely goodness and mercy shall follow me all the days of my life." This is not "surely goodness and mercy Williams." This is "surely goodness and mercy." Sheep that are rotated from place to place, and they eat some here. So sheep dropping, sheep become fertilizer, and it is some of the best sought-after fertilizer in the world. And as they go from field to field, they leave their fertilizer there in the field, and it enriches the field that they have been in. A sheep farmer that is continually rotating his flocks, those fields are some of the best fertile fields in the world. As Christians, we follow the Lord from field to field, place to place in God's Word. We go from the school to church to home to the 7-Eleven to the coffee shop. I'm just saying, Christian, everywhere you go, if you're constantly feeding on God's Word, you should leave that place a little bit sweeter when you leave. You go to 7-Eleven, welcome to 7-Eleven, glad you're here. When you go to the coffee shop to minister to the people there, to encourage them about Christ, we shouldn't follow the school system, we shouldn't follow the workplace, we shouldn't follow the places where we go, we should leave them sweeter. And people that follow the Lord are doing just that. We ought to leave those fields, our community, our nation, our mission fields, a little bit sweeter, a little bit more fertile, a little bit more gospel rich. And how long should we do that? Our entire life. And I will dwell in the house of the Lord forever. Right now, God has given us a church, and the church should be a little bit of taste of heaven. And I hope that it is. Would you bow your heads and close your eyes? Christian friend, aren't you weary of feeding in Satan's corrupted fields? You should be. You should be. You should follow the shepherd. God knows what you need. God knows what you need. If you're here and you don't know Jesus Christ, I'm just telling you, Satan is not the good shepherd. He could care less whether you live or die. But there you are, Satan, your shepherd, wandering in wasted fields, weighted by sin. The good shepherd is willing to clean you up. He's willing to claim you as his own. He's willing to care for you. This morning you say, "Preacher, I don't know Jesus Christ as my Savior, as my shepherd, but I'd like to. Would you pray for me?" Slip your hand up, hold it up for just a moment. Let's stand to our feet with our heads bowed and eyes closed. The piano's playing. The altar's open. You want to talk to the shepherd this morning, you can do that right where you are. You want to come to the altar and pray, you certainly can. God speaks to your heart this morning, will you come? You share your burdens with the shepherd. He'll listen. He cares for you. He loves you beyond all else.